Our studios are located at 515 Madison Avenue in New York City, and our zip code 11022. It's also, of course, the law office of John C. Deary, where for many the long year we have shared offices, and indeed as a colleague and very good friend. How are you, John Deary?
Hi, Adrian. How you doing?
Okay. The silence around the office this week has been deafening, and you will notice that we kept out of your way. Notre Dame, what happened?
Oh, boy. Well, I tell you, it was... At the end of the day, it was men against boys. I know that you're not a devotee of college football, but that the conference that Alabama plays in is the Southeast Conference, the SEC, Florida and Georgia and, of course, Alabama, Mississippi, and so forth. And there's just no getting around the fact that right now that is the most powerful conference, and they were big, as everyone advertised. They were big, they were fast, and some have said they're almost on a level of an NFL team, National Football League team, and our guys weren't ready for it, and we were overmanned. And but
yeah.
Talk about disappointment. I was I've been keyed up for this for, well, since the game was announced 6 weeks earlier, and you know, by the time we got to the middle of the first quarter, the game was over. So it was very disappointing. Now, I don't know if you may have followed, but on the heels of that loss, we have, of course, great love for and appreciation for Coach Kelly, Brian Kelly, who's in his third year at Notre Dame, and within that brief period of time brought the team to the national championship. And now there is the talk that he is in discussions with the Philadelphia Eagles of the National Football League to be their head coach. So we're kind of holding our breath that he will wind up staying at Notre Dame, but that was something that was just out of the clear blue sky. What a shockerino. Bad enough we lost the game, but we may wind up losing the coach within a matter of a few days, and that'll be quite disappointing.
Why is it that, as you say, with... it's not like Notre Dame was not a top-ranking team, but whenever you have a very high-profile team that comes in second, that one of the first things that happens is that the coach is either sought after or volunteers to move on. I mean, that seems to happen quite a lot, you know, in sports.
Yes, that is true. And, of course, obviously successful coaches, ultimately, irrespective of what sport it is, and I guess it's primarily basketball and football, if they're successful on the college level, there's always the allure, well, how could they do it in the professional ranks? And that's one. The lure of it is one thing. I think there's one other factor, and it's called dollars. For example, Notre Dame's head coach earns $3 million. For example, the coach at Alabama, a fellow named Nick Saban, earns $5 to $6 million. And if a coach goes into the NFL, probably earning, you know, $7-8 million. So there is that practicality, as well as, look, I'm a great coach. Can I really make it in the highest levels of the game? And that is the professional level. So I think those are the factors.
Yeah. Anyway, there'll be another day. Let me ask you about our Governor Cuomo, and his State of the State speech this week. He's reading between the lines, Do you think that he is basically sounding presidential, or is it just assumed that since he seems to be doing a very good job all around, that these are pundits that are just, you know, rolling out? Is this a media interpretation? What's your own view on it?
My own sense is that he's rolling around about the presidential race in his mind. Look, you're the governor of the, with all due respect to California, you're still talking about the governor of the Empire State, the most important state in the nation. He is certainly highly credited with having brought a sense of professionalism, priorities, effectiveness, all of those kind of things to state government after a period in which it appeared to be floundering. He's in the position to be able to raise a substantial amount of money. He comes in there with a nationally recognized name in light of not only the work he's done, but also his father's work before. So you put all of those factors together, the governor of New York State, just like I might say the governor of California, they're almost automatically, if they are reasonably successful, they're automatically serious candidates. I mean, I think it would be fair to say that in California, with Arnold Schwarzenegger, putting aside some of the personal matters that he had more recently, but, of course, the fact that he was not born in the country and therefore was never eligible to be a potential president, but his presence would have been very significant on the Republican side if that had not been a prohibition. So New York and California, governors, well-known, national figures, they have to be thinking about the presidential race. But it is very early. I mean, after all, we're only a matter of, just about 2 months away from the last election, and here we are doing the handicapping for the next one. So.
But who would have thought that the profile of the Vice President of the United States would have zoomed to new heights, and particularly Joe Biden, who very few would have assumed might even be a contender for the presidency. Definitely, he has a couple of great successes under his belt, not the least of which was, of course, he seemed to be the savior coming in for the fiscal cliff when the president was kind of throwing his hands up. That followed by his being the leading force in the in this anti NRA with again with gun control, coming up against one of the strongest lobbies of all times in the United States, Joe Biden.
Well, you know, Joe is extremely capable, very likable, well-respected in the Senate. I think Joe's major problem is that with some of his comments, he's kind of gotten that, well, he's the goofy old guy kind of, you know, sort of approach. And I think the media has tended to play that, but he's an enormously skilled guy. He really is. And as I say, it was an excellent pick going back, what, 4 years ago for Obama, because Obama's main weakness is that he has had virtually no establishment of relations with members and key members of Congress. As a matter of fact, he's almost had a sense of disdain for the whole congressional legislative side of it, and kind of a condescending sort of attitude. I don't have time for these guys. Who the heck are these guys from, you know, Podunk or wherever? But Joe Biden has been brought up in that mentality. He's been a member of Congress for 30-plus years. So I wouldn't underestimate Joe Biden. I don't think that at the end of the day he's necessarily going to be a serious candidate, but, you know, time will tell. But going back to what you mentioned about Governor Cuomo, he has a very ticklish situation in the state, and we don't have to stay on the subject, but the reality is that somebody named Clinton is kind of hovering over, and if Hillary were to decide to get into it, it would make it extremely difficult.
Absolutely.
To New York candidates. So that's really, he's going to have to sit back and see what happens after Hillary leaves office, gets a chance to put her feet up, relax a little bit, get herself physically in better condition. She's just worn out physically and mentally, and see where she is. I would imagine that the guy that she tends to hang around with a lot, named Bill Clinton, will probably be stirring the waters and saying, run, 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 run. But ultimately, she'll have to make that decision. But it certainly has an impact on Governor Cuomo's decision.
Will the public forget, with the passage of time, her very serious health issues, and it's early enough, let's assume, that if everything goes okay. But what will that be an issue
with
her age?
I think everyone that says that knows her well says that she is mentally, physically exhausted. That is an exhausting, as it said, she visited 122 countries in 4 years. You got to really move to do that. It's clear anybody looking at her that knew what she looked like, she has put on weight. She has just worn herself down. But 2 years or 3 years is more than plenty time to get back, get rested, and get ready for a campaign if that's what she chooses to do. So I think people will look and say, wow, what the heck was going on when she looked like she did in 2012? But if it's 2014 or it's 15 or 16,
right,
and she looks herself, I don't think people will think too much about that.
Well, other than ourselves and some of media, we will get past the predictions for the presidency. That will be overshadowed by the mayoral race, which is coming up this year. Up to now, we haven't even given much thought because we needed to get past the presidential election.
Yes.
Did you, in your own experience, and you spent 20 years in the New York legislature, what's happening? We have, it seems like the contenders are coming out of the woodwork. Obviously, headed by Lota, who came from back from the Giuliani administration and has a fairly prominent track record, and indeed looks like he will be the Republican contender. But we have George McDonald, we have several others that are testing the waters. Is this something that perhaps we ought to stand back from, because many of the contenders or those who are rattling sabers and belting the bushes may just want to get their names out there and be taken seriously for perhaps another office? What is your read on it?
Well, there's no doubt that there are many candidates that are looking at it. Anytime you have an open seat, as is the case here, and you're not dealing with incumbency, that does tend to generate more candidates. Having said that, I think it would also be fair to say that the field is relatively speaking weak. There isn't a dominant candidate there. Hillary Clinton gets in a presidential race, she's a dominant candidate. She's the front runner. Everyone is aiming at her and so forth. I don't think it has taken that kind of shape thus far. So the result of which is, they're all out there. It's a big city. They all have their own kind of constituencies that they're playing to, and it'll have to sort itself out. Certainly, I guess you'd have to say that Christine Quinn, as the speaker, is in the best position. She probably has the highest name recognition. If it winds up that Mayor Bloomberg does support her, and that brings both pluses and minuses. I mean, I think financially and generating campaign funds, which is so important, the Mayor Bloomberg will help her very much on that. On the other hand, there is a lot of we've had 12 years, enough already of Bloomberg, and there's a lot of sentiment about let's move on to someone else. So anytime you have a big endorsement like that, it carries pluses and minuses.
Yes.
But I guess you'd have to say, no matter how you slice it, that probably the speaker is the leading candidate at the moment. But by no means is this thing wrapped up, by no means.
No. It will help a lot if, depending on how successful the gun control issue is, and, one would have to say, whatever about whether you like Bloomberg or not, that he is and has been, the leader in terms of keeping the issue of gun control right to the fore, and that will obviously have tremendous impact. So as normally in the final year of a mayoralty, the lame duck impression creates its own lackluster. It definitely looks like, you have Bloomberg, who will have to get credit, if this works out to be, okay, and we have to assume that something, meaningful will come out of this battle.
Well, I certainly hope so, and I think I might have mentioned last week, I do sincerely believe he is the only person in America that can really make the gun control legislation happen. Not to be spending other people's money, but he is in a position to be able to fund with, $50, $75, $100 million a campaign to offset the NRA, as you mentioned before. He's the one guy that can do it. He has credibility. He has recognition. And he's certainly no Johnny-come-lately to the issue. So if there's anyone that can do it, he can do it, and maybe that'll become his legacy. He was mayor for 12 years, did a remarkable job, and then, turned his attention to gun control and made it happen. That's a pretty good legacy, and I think he has to be thinking about that. He is the strongest voice surrounding himself on the issue of gun control. So if he takes it and tries to make it on a national level with regard to that issue, he'll certainly have served the country very well.
Finally, John Deary, the battle and the mudslinging against the teachers' union, the United Federation of Teachers, seems to be boiling over. What's going to happen here?
Well, that fight is always going to continue. It really will be. The teachers historically have been the most powerful union in the state. They have not only numbers, they have dollars, and they have very obviously educated members of their union, and they can provide an awful lot of impact in their decision with regard to who they support in something like a mayoral campaign. Now, they've been a little bit on the sidelines, as most of these special interests have been, given the fact that Mayor Bloomberg has not needed a dime of their money.
Mm-hmm.
Their influence in supporting candidates is now going to come back as these candidates, frankly, are going to try to elicit support from the union. So I think they'll come back. But look, the issue of funding on a public level, the teachers, what the grading and evaluation of teachers, what their pensions, what their salaries, and all of those issues, they're never going to go away. They're going to be prominent on a city and state level for as long as we're around.
There's an immediacy, though, in terms of they have to get past before we get onto the mayoral candidates, this one seems like something has to happen soon. They may come back, as you say, and as you predict, when the mayoral candidates roll out and cater to them, because they are ever powerful. But in the immediate future, can this be dragged on again for another while? Can they put this on the back burner?
I think these issues are too grassroots. You've got parents involved. You obviously have the issue of the students and the quality of education. You have basic issues such as, do we put public money into charter schools? Are charter schools effectively or more effectively being run than public schools? What's the quality of the teachers, the assessment, evaluation of teachers? These are percolating issues that really never go away, and they're not going to go away because the issue of education of our children. I mean, at the end of the day, you're the mayor of the city. There are budget issues. There are ceremonial things to do. At the end of the day, in my view, there's two overriding issues: keeping the city safe and improving the quality of education. Other issues are important. Obviously, we want our streets to be clean. We want to make sure that we're safe with our fire departments and so forth. And not to diminish any of those issues. But at the end of the day, is the city safe and are the children being educated? And so, therefore, year after year, election after election, city and state level, issues of education will always be there. They may take different forms, but right now it's there. I think they're going to make a comeback because candidates need the UFT more now than certainly Mayor Bloomberg did in the past. So we'll see, but I don't think these issues are going anywhere, frankly. They may change, but they're not going anywhere.
John Deary, thank you. And I'm sure we'll be catching up this week. And the atmosphere,
during the wake this week.
Yeah, the atmosphere should be lifting somewhat around the office.
Well, if anybody can make it lift, you're the man, so we look forward to seeing you.
Okay, thank you.
So long, Adrian.
All right, John Deary, friends, and you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, the family show live.